KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. The LA City Council drew its own line in the sand yesterday on Donald Trump's border wall. KPCC's Andrea Bernstein reports.
Councilman Gil Cedillo says the LA City Council's position on the border wall has been clear for some time.
We oppose the wall and support building bridges.
So Cedillo authored a motion asking the city attorney to write a law requiring city contractors and those who bid on city work to tell the city if they also have a contract to work on the border wall.
And we want to know if there are people who do business with the city of Los Angeles who wish to profit from building a wall that would divide us from our nearest and dearest neighbor, Mexico.
The council passed the motion on a vote of 13-0. The law wouldn't explicitly blackball border wall contractors, but the motion said anyone involved in a wall could be harming the city and its residents. The council still must decide how much weight to give the issue when vetting contractors. Trade groups representing contractors said the proposed law would be discriminatory and retaliatory. For the California Report, I'm Andrea Bernstein in Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, some state lawmakers want to block the Trump administration's push to deport more immigrants with a bill that would make California a so-called sanctuary state. But yesterday, the state's sheriff's association said the bill is a bad move for public safety. Marisa Lagos from KQED's California Politics and Government Desk has more.
California already limits how closely local law enforcement can work with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. But Senate Bill 54 goes further. It would prohibit local authorities from handing someone in their custody over to ICE unless they've been previously convicted of a violent crime. Supporters say it will ensure that immigrant communities trust local police. But Los Angeles County Sheriff Jim McDonnell says the change would do the opposite. Instead of picking up someone at a jail for deportation, ICE agents would have to go looking in the community.
They would find the target. But they would also then potentially take whoever's in the environment who's undocumented. That would include family, neighbors, or whoever's there. And so all of the work that we've put in to establish the trust we've built over many years would be eroded overnight.
The sheriffs appear to be ramping up their opposition before the legislature returns from its summer recess and takes its final votes on SB 54. The bill is likely to go through some changes. Governor Jerry Brown last weekend told NBC he wants some amendments, though he didn't say exactly what. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Last year, voters made it easier for California public schools to start bilingual education programs. Now, demand for teachers who can work in those programs is growing. But school administrators are finding out that it's hard to find teachers whose academic Spanish is as good as their academic English. As KPCC's Adolfo Guzman-Lopez reports, some teachers are using the summer to step up their bilingual teaching game.
There's a big difference between growing up in the U.S. speaking Spanish at home and knowing enough to teach in Spanish in a classroom.
Especially as a Chicana, it's very easy to say, like, oh, I know how to say that word in Spanish. You just add an O at the end or you translate it.
Sixth grade teacher Zianja Casares is learning that at a two-week bilingual education training at Cal State Dominguez Hills.
Printear, mapear.
But that's not academic Spanish, and we're in an academic setting, so I definitely have to prepare to learn the real word of how to say it academically.
Professor Lilia Sarmiento says she helped start this training last year after hearing from schools that they're not seeing enough well-trained, new, bilingual, and dual immersion teachers.
Principals tell us, we know that the content's important, what they need to teach, but send us teachers that speak Spanish well.
Sarmiento says the problem is that the limits on bilingual education programs led few teachers to seek this kind of training. With demands for bilingual education teachers growing, educators say the handful of training opportunities in Southern California aren't enough. Most teachers do a lot to learn about the latest teaching methods. Bilingual education teachers must do so for both English and the second language they're teaching.
Juan, ¿podrías hacerme a favor de empezar tu trabajo?
No.
Dominguez Hills professor Heather Curtia talks to the class about how to use nonviolent language in the classroom. She's not a native Spanish speaker. Her lesson is clear, even though she's at a loss for the right words here and there. Teacher Casares noticed that and says it's helped calm her nerves about starting a new assignment in the fall in a dual immersion class.
Well, I'm nervous about not knowing how to say something, but through this class I've noticed that it's empowering to engage the students in the, well, how do we say this word? Or it's okay not to know how to say every word.
Some of the teachers said even hearing the most mundane classroom activities in Spanish is useful.
Y haces login on Google Chrome, con tu cuenta de Google, de Gmail.
Cal State Dominguez Hills professor Jen Stacy spends 20 minutes explaining how to use a computer app for an oral and video history project. Hearing her do so in Spanish will help teachers when they have to do the same with their students. Similar trainings are taking place at about half a dozen other Southern California University campuses this summer. And none too soon, LA Unified, the largest school district in the state, is opening 16 new bilingual education programs next school year, adding to the 85 it already operates. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare. Now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California, where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
And finally, here's a question for you. What's the oldest annual team sports tournament in the country? Did you guess the U.S. Open Cup? It's a soccer tournament that's been playing every year since 1914, and tonight the San Jose Earthquakes are in the semifinals for the second time in the club's history. In recent years, pro teams have dominated the tournament, but Robert Jonas, who writes about the Earthquakes for Centerline Soccer, says small local club teams used to bring home the cup.
Going back to the 1980s and 1990s, there was quite a run by teams out of the San Francisco Soccer Football League. A famous team called Air Farolito, which is based in the Mission District, put together a winner that won the cup in 1993.
The Earthquakes face Sporting KC tonight in Kansas City for a chance to advance to the finals. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, August 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. Have a great day.